infected by the red, the black, and the green with the key city.
Right!
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Lehman.
We have another spectacular roundtable jumping off tonight. Tonight's guests are Black Is team members Chris Lehman, Toria Williams, Dino Black, John and Triana Wood, Obina Obijiaku, and special guests Craig Stewart, who is a writer. And tonight's topic is Platonic Relationships Part 2. We spoke on platonic relationships before, so this is part two, and the subtopic, keeping friends after marriage, keeping platonic friends after marriage. This topic comes to the table, and I'm speaking about my own personal experiences being a married woman, having a lot of single platonic male friends. Now, I have not had too much of a challenge maintaining my friendships with my single male friends until they get married. Now, when they get married, the situation definitely changes. They're not able to be as friendly with me as they were prior to having spouses. And I get it. They have wives. And the wives might maybe not entirely certain of my relationship with them or not sure of my positioning in their life will cut down on the amount of communication that we're allowed to have. And I recognize that same double standard in my own relationship. I know Chris has platonic female friends, but I know he doesn't probably have as many as I have platonic male friends. And so for the married and single people at the table, how are we able to maintain friendships with people who we've known, you know, 5, 10, 15, sometimes 20 years or more once we get into long-term relationships or marriages? How can we have a balance with that? Can you have a balance with that? Or once you get married, is every single person in your life cut off?
No, I don't think so. This is Obi. I think the main thing is to be open with that friendship. If I'll just put myself as an example, if I have a female friend who, you know, we've been cool, that's like my sister. Mm-hmm. Introduce her to my girlfriend, like straight right off the bat. Introduced her, you know, let her know the dynamics of the relationship. They begin to get cool and comfortable, and then the same on the other side too. If there's a friend that she has that's a male friend, introduce us. You know, let me know about him, because you know, with everybody else, what you don't know, you know, you'll start trying to. You start making, you know, having ideas, and your mind starts playing tricks on you and stuff like that. So I just think that introducing them off the bat is probably the best way to go.
Okay. Anybody else?
You know, this is John Wood. And I think that before me and Triana got married, I know there's a point in my life where I think the top four, maybe even five closest friends I had at a certain period were all women, not by design. It just kind of happened that way, you know? And Triana, I know, has always had a large number of male friends. And so when we got married, that wasn't so much of an issue for us. I certainly understand why it is an issue for people generally, of course, because there's always, I guess, the possibility, the generic possibility or potential for attraction if there's a change in emotional or psychological circumstances, you know. But that's why marriage falters without trust. If it's not based on a real sense of trust and honesty between husband and wife, you know, you just can't, it's not going to work out anyway. So if you have that honesty, you can feel free to, I think, bring up whatever's bothering you with your significant other, and you know, find a way to work it out. But when you get sort of lost in your relationship with that other person outside of the marriage, even if it doesn't devolve into something physical right away, you know, I think that's the danger, that's the fear on the part of the spouse who may not trust the intentions of that other friend, you know. And that's where the responsibility for the individual kicks in to say, you know, you may be my friend and I value that relationship, but I have a special obligation, responsibility to my husband or to my wife, you know. And so that's where people's attention need to be focused. As long as you do that, I think platonic relationships with people of the opposite gender are okay.
Sexual attraction, because of sexual attraction, is it even possible for men and women to have true, honest, platonic relationships? That's a question. Because is there always the potential for one party to be thinking sexual thoughts about the other party, even if it's not a mutual situation? Is it possible for two people of the opposite sex to really have nothing more than just a friendship? Or is there always going to be an opportunity for sex?
Well, this is Chris speaking. I think from a relationship standpoint and from a marriage standpoint, if you're always fearful of your partner interacting with somebody opposite sex and always fearing that there's going to be a chance that that person will act on their on that feeling or just leap onto that opposite sex, then personally, don't get married. I mean, if you're really worried about that, then marriage is not going to work for you. Because, yes, there's always a possibility you could die tomorrow. But, I mean, if there's a person who always wakes up and scared, like, oh, my God, I might not live to see tomorrow. Let me lock myself in my house. I mean, you're not living. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean,
issue of trust.
It is an issue of trust. And I trust, I trust KC that, I was talking to her male friends that nothing's going on. And, I'm a person that if it happens, it's going to happen. I don't want to worry and stress about, what if this might happen? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not, then it's not going to happen. I don't want to worry about day-to-day her interactions with other people. I mean.
Well, you can't because in the same vein, like, Chris works in an office, and it's usually more women than men in any given work scenario. And you can't be with your spouse 24 hours a day, and you can't spend those hours that you're apart racking your brain and stressing out about what the person is or is not doing. So the trust piece is crucial. But I guess here's my question. Why do things always have to... I understand the change that happens when you get married, but why does it seem like it's so extreme? Why is that double standard exist? Usually double standards seem to lean more on women than men, and in this situation it definitely leans more on the men, as if overall it's a general consensus men can't be trusted. So if a man is married, he needs to definitely cut down on the number of platonic relationships he has with women. He definitely cannot develop a new friendship with a new woman post-marriage. That's absolutely not going to happen.
That's so horrible.
And I think as women push that, not because Kim is my friend, but you are one of the few women who welcome other women into your house comfortably, confidently, without, the side look, without, don't you wear that to my house. As a single woman, I automatically, when I go into a situation with married people, I'm like, okay, let me pull my shirt down, make sure my butt's not sticking out. Because the average woman is not that welcoming, because the motive is, you're single, then what are you doing at this table with all of us? Mm-hmm. It's very far and few that you will meet a married woman who's like, he's my man, and no matter how big your butt is or how nice your smile is, he's my man. And right now when we're here, right now when we leave. So I think women, we fuel that because it's a point you have to get to where being comfortable with your partner. Like, this is my ride or die. So he may look. Holly Berry came in the room. He gonna look. Whoever he. But at the end of the day, we're leaving together. And I don't see, as a single woman, I don't see many women that are like, hey, how you doing? It's like, hey, how you doing? You sitting at the end of the table. You sitting at the little kid's table. unless you come in a moo-moo, what I mean? And then if you do present yourself nicely, it's like, well, she's doing too much, She came to the party and she was doing too much. No, I'm not supposed to be a moo-moo because I'm the single woman in the room, or the single woman at the wedding, she wore that tight dress, You're like, no, she was laughing and talking to everybody. And it's like, no. So I think women, our behavior and our actions and our perceptions and our security or lack of insecurity kind of sets that double standard, because we're not, like I said, you're one of the farm few, other than like my best friends who know me, you know, that are comfortable with me sitting at the table around them, like, and they have a husband there. And sometimes you're like, well, does that mean like your husband creep on you, or is it an issue of you? But I always walk into those situations just a little bit uncomfortable. Like, let me button up my shirt all the way to my throat, you know, so they know. And I'm like, hi, how you doing? Not making eye contact, because you don't want to create a situation where that woman is like
side-eyeing you. Yeah. And that brings up a point to me, something that you said. Now, do you guys feel we have this double standard because of the overwhelming belief that all men cheat? If we didn't live in a society that perpetuated the stereotype that all men cheat, would this situation not be such a grand, like, grossly misunderstood?
I still think it would be a bit of a problem, because women tend to be territorial.
Agreed.
And we can get really vicious unnecessarily. We create these scenarios in our head out of our own whimsical fancies and just run with it.
Yeah. I think half of the time, too, is because women know what they think. You know, nobody controls our mind space, and we think some freaky shit from time to time, but nobody talks about that. Right. So because of how we think, you that makes you like, I got to be a pit bull in my situation.
Right. Yeah. Right. And insecurity, you know, it's one thing that she touched on, too. I think insecurity kind of plays into it. You know, you may have a wife that'll... you may have a wife, you know, that'll look at her husband and say, oh, why are you friends with her? You know, and it'll be because maybe that woman has something that she's insecure. Maybe
the wife doesn't have.
Yeah, that she doesn't have, that she thinks that her husband likes. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be a big chest or a big butt or whatnot. Or it can be the guy, too. You know, like, oh, you know, he works out and has this nice physique. Why are you friends with him? that kind of thing, too. I think that's part of the reason, too, is insecurity, you know.
All the way around.
All right, this is Dino Black here, and I'm going to keep it real. Now,
I guess because the rest of us have been
I'm going to keep it real. A lot of this, a lot of the African-American experience is control. We try to control the things that we can, because there's so many things that are out of control in our lives just being black. You know, being ridiculed and being in the system and the different things that we got to deal with just being black people. So we try to control those little aspects that make us feel a little bit better. Like you said, those insecurities. And they do come out in relationships a lot. Like, I have a belief that you should let your spouse deal with those extracurricular problems. You know, some might disagree with that.
I agree.
Some might disagree with that, but it all comes back to a trust. If you have a trust between you and that other person, you know he's not going to forsake you.
Now, Dino, you know what I'm going to say.
She is not going to forsake you.
You know what I'm going to say.
Now, wait.
Let me let you finish.
But in that aspect, it's like I said, it comes down to control. But if you have that trust with one another and you have that open pathway with one another, then you should be able to overcome those little obstacles and those little hicks and nicks. But those people that you meet outside of your marriage, they should have a proper place within your life that does not conflict with your marriage.
Agreed.
And then you don't have those problems.
Agreed. And the thing about control, I even agree with you in regards to that. Because the one of the things that my very wise grandmother shared with me before I got married, she said, baby, your mind space is your own. Your husband cannot control that. So you don't try to control his mind space either. His thoughts are his own. And just let that be. Let that be. But...
thank you for there the bots.
There is a such thing as female intuition, and every woman absolutely in this room will be able to agree with me on this. Every now and again, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about my husband or any man, men can sometimes be
oblivious
and naive.
I agree.
To what another woman might be thinking, planning, plotting, all of that. And a woman's intuition can pick up on whether or not the woman in front of her is being honest or is a hussy in church girl's clothing. And every now and again, a woman's intuition will, you know, you just get them sensors. And you, now, this is what I would do.
But it's all about how
I would
you go
never,
about it.
Right. I would never tell Chris You absolutely, that person is banned from your life. You cannot talk to that person. I mean, he's a grown-ass man. You know what I'm saying? But I would say to him, you know what, honey? Something about her does not sit right with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just plant that seed. And I'm going to let him do what it is he's going to do anyway. But I'm at least put it out there for him. Because what I would not want to do is let my man walk into a red light situation. I might see it being something that he's being set up against. He might not see it at all. So I'm at least give him the heads up based off of my intuition.
I'm going to plant the seed and uproot the weeds. Because as you said, there's women intuition, and sometimes men are oblivious to it. And there are sometimes women that are disrespectful. There are women that may look at you and go, well, I'm cuter than her. I got more going. He knows he likes this about me. And so they play on it. There's only so much that I'm going to allow my spouse or significant other to take care of before I let her know, like, let me line you up real quick. Because if I'm sitting right there and you are obviously being disrespectful, flirting, smiling, doing the little things I know women do, you know, chest over the table, all that, I'll check you. And absolutely.
There's certain things that women,
and that's not me being insecure. That's letting me know, next time we at the table, you better turn that way and not this way.
Right. And there's certain things that women should not ask of a married man.
And that's like what we call making a scene.
Like what?
That's what we call making a scene.
My single homegirl cannot ask me or call me to ask for my husband to come over to her house to help fix anything in her fucking house.
Exactly.
Not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? And my single friends, and I love all my single homies. No, you cannot move into my house even if you're on hard times.
What if there's money involved?
I don't give a fuck. You can take that money and put it on a Marriott or some other little hotel for you.
Never let another woman in your backyard.
You don't do that. No, you don't do that. You don't do that because it's a set.
I will find a boarding house for you.
Wait. Why would you be dealing with a man that don't know how to separate business from pleasure?
But here's the thing. Here we go, Dino. Here's the situation. I'm gonna give you a scenario, real life scenario. Did not happen to me. I heard this secondhand. So your intention is not to do wrong by your spouse, but you come home one day early from work and the friend who's moved in temporarily is just sitting around naked, chilling. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, you know, glad to see you home early. What's good? I know your wife ain't coming home for a while. What's good? How do you respond to that situation?
Sure. Look, what the hell are you doing? I'm married. You know what I'm saying? If that's my wife, it's like, I'm looking for an explanation, some kind of way. And even if she does give an explanation, I'm like, this can't fly. If this is my wife over here, you out of line. And
I agree.
I'm gonna put it straight right then and there, because this is my wife over here and you disrespecting my marriage right now.
And I'm not gonna say you're the exception to the rule. I think there are many men that would have that response, but there would be men that should step up to that plate.
Agree. And be that man.
Agree, because just for every man that would make the exact same point that you just made, there's gonna be, I would say, two or three others that would take advantage of the situation.
Right, but that all comes back to the household that you grew up in. You know what I mean? If you're raised and certain things are instilled in you and certain things you hold of value, you're going to carry that with you in your life. That's what goes back to the black family nucleus. You know, if you go into that and build on that and cherish that, then that carries on with the children because they see the examples.
Right.
They see all the things that you should be doing, not just the things that you shouldn't be doing. Now, there's sometimes you might experiment, or sometimes you might go out there and try to find out what's new or what's going on. But at the end of the day, when you make your final decision and settle down, you go back to that root. You go back to those things that you know are working. You go back to those things that you know is going to be okay, that foundation. So, like I said, it goes back to the family nucleus, and it carries on with you in life. And these men and these women...
You don't think that,
this is Craig. I mean, happens? In theory, that's what should happen.
Right.
But if that always happened, we wouldn't have infidelity.
Exactly. But, and it's not because our parents didn't teach us
exactly.
Better.
But the thing is, I think that what happens a lot of times, and this is just in general in terms of having friends of the opposite sex when you're married or you're in a relationship, I think people are leery about it, whether it's male or female, with their partner having a friend of the opposite sex, because we've heard so many stories,
right.
And nobody wants to be the next story. Oh, did you hear what happened with Tori and da, da, da. I mean, like, nobody wants to be the next story. And so to prevent being the next story, you try to set up these roadblocks.
Right.
You try to foresee things before it even happens. So no, you can't go to Tori's house to fix her sink, you know, even though you know that she, you know what I mean? Nobody wants to be the story.
Okay, he can fix it, but I'm coming with him.
Black magic, the promise, the premise, the endless, the sea we travel on to arrive at the very beginning of where we started, journeying onward into the light and deeper into shadow. Life will bring trust, it will bring and store the memory you unravel.
You miss. If you like what you're hearing so far, make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online. Now back to the show.
This is Ace Key on a cameo appearance, right quick. You know what I'm saying? I dealt with issues, you know, of questions of, you know, and I'm not married, but being in the relationship that I was in, it made me be hesitant. About marriage, if you will. You know what I mean? Because I'm the type of person, if you gave me $1 million, you know what I mean, like to hold, I wouldn't touch one red cent of it. You know what I mean? But not everybody has that same upbringing, you know? So on the flip, I think in the sense of marriage and just relationships, there has to be a line. Even in relationships, I mean, I hold the same premise in my own relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in a business where it's, and let's just take the business, you know what I mean? Like, aside from it, you know what I mean? Like, It's trouble out there. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's coming at you on different levels. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not putting myself, you know, but it is what it is, you know? So, I mean, the thing about it is that you have to have that line drawn, man or woman. You know what I mean? But men and women have to be secure within themselves enough to be realized. Because here's what happens is we forget. We create this culprit in our minds rather than holding our mates accountable. I used to tell my ex this all the time. I used to be like, look, A, B, and C can come at me with whatever she wants. It's about what I'm going to do at the end of the day. You can't control somebody else's, a grown person's actions. You know what I mean? It's the man's. Cause I used to tell her the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like he can do whatever he wants. It's about how you react to it at the end of the day. It's about your mate. It's about holding your mate accountable, not the opposite, the other person on the flip side, because they only going to do what they're going to do, you know. And the thing about it is that trust factor has to be established from the beginning. Once you have that, everything else is easy street. That bond has to be there.
I have to say this really quick. Aski, I agree with you and disagree with you because I am married. And have been in a marriage and in the same relationship for 12 years. Yes, you can set that standard from the gate. There is supposed to be that element of trust, and that never shakes. But things happen, and people change. And depending on where you are in your relationship and where your partner is, you guys could be momentarily emotionally grown apart for whatever you're going through. It could be money issues, babies, whatever. And in that moment, somebody who was predatory and looking to just get in and you know, get what they want to get out of the situation, that could be that's how infidelity can start in a lot of relationships.
They're always cracks.
You need to take care of that in the home, man.
That covenant must be secured on all levels. You know what I mean? Like, to where, I don't care, you know what I mean? Like, it's a thing where you have to make sure your mate understands, like, look, I'm not doing A, B, and C. And vice versa. And even taking it as further as even forsaking the association just to, you know what I mean, reaffirm, you know, the trust in the relationship. You know what I mean? And it hurts because it's like these are people. I mean, the thing about it is I have a lot of female friends, you know what I mean, on various levels that I've actually had relations or had, you know, whatever in the past. But once I got into a relationship, it was like they weren't even mentioned. They weren't even, and I felt bad to some degree because these were people that are like have supported me on different levels. You know what I'm saying? But I also realized there's a certain decorum that has to be held in order to secure your relationship. You know, I'm not a single, you know, at the time I wasn't a single man. So as a married man, the pressure is, or married woman, the pressure is even, not even pressure, but the responsibility has to be driven. Exactly. You know, so that trust has to be secured.
Have look, I think that, I'm sorry, Red. I was just going to say, I think that where Kim is coming from as a married woman is simply understanding that it's pretty easy to make a declaration in the moment that I'm going to adopt a certain attitude and never be vulnerable going forward. But of course, we're all vulnerable to one thing or another. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all succumb to temptation in one form or another as you go along. And marriage tests that to the maximum because it is a permanent commitment. At least it's supposed to be, you know. So, of course, you do want to say, yes, I'm going to hold fast to this commitment. But there will always be times when you're weak. And, of course, the particular thing that I think Kim and Tori are both pointing to, and as women, I think they're probably more honest about this than men are. We men ourselves are, is the fact that the biological impulse to, you know, sort of spread yourself around, you know, that's wired into a man. Not saying it can't be overcome. It absolutely can. And I know it can because I'm married, and I've certainly been in I'm put it delicately, my wife's sitting right next to me, but I've certainly been in situations where temptation was, you know, look at me dead in the eye, you know. And it's extremely difficult, and I think for people who might have less self-control than even I do, you know, it's almost overwhelming for men at certain times. But the thing that I think all men should remember, and I'm talking directly to you fellas, if you are in a situation kind of like this or you wind up being confronted with a situation like this, the thing that you have to remember is that if you really do love your wife, if you really do trust, or even if it's just a girlfriend, you know, because that's important too, if you really are serious about the person you're with, the thing I think you understand is that if you go ahead and make that or give in to that temptation to do that deed with that person, you know, the same thing could go for women, but particularly to the men. You will feel the fact that you did the wrong thing as soon as it is over. It will hit you like a ton of bricks. And this is just something that I don't know because I've done that. I just know that that's the way it would be. Because when you make love to the wrong person, you're not making love. You know, you're making guilt. And that'll come down like a ton of bricks. And see, quite honestly, and for me, just to put it in religious terms, for me, that's the fear of God, because I know as tempted as I may be in the moment, and temptation is real. I'm not afraid to say that even my wife's sitting here, because I am human. I'm not going to disown that and act like I'm perfect or infallible. You know, the thing that keeps me from making that mistake is just knowing how severe that pain would be for me internally to know that I had done that. You know?
Yeah, I agree with you, because as a married woman, I've thought to myself, any situation where I found myself attracted to somebody other than my husband, and you know, if space and opportunity allowed for something to go down between me and that person, there's no way I'd be able to have the same sort of euphoric, restful moment that I have after I've been intimate with my husband with that other person, because of the level of guilt that I would be experiencing. There was no way that I could have any level of comfort. But I think what we all need to be honest and realize, and some people may not recognize this, to me, it's more prevalent being married. There are some fucking predators out there. There are people out there that specifically like try to target folks who are in relationships. You know what I'm saying? Because they know the sort of challenge that you're dealing with. Marriage takes work. That level of commitment takes work. Monogamy takes work. And there are people who purposefully try to tear away at what it is that you're trying to build with somebody. You know what I'm saying? And you got to be able to fight that.
And knowing that it's that intense, that's why it takes both of you to fight for it. That's why it's not okay to just step back and say, I'm going to leave it on my spouse.
Right.
Because I'm going to say, I've not been in the most orthodox situations, and it ain't always guilty immediately after. Hmm. Because if that were the case, infidelity would end with a one-night stand.
Right.
It go, you, I got away with it, and guilt might not kick in. Men know how to wash you off and keep it going. So that's why it takes both of you to fight for it. So if I come across as a little territorial checking you, I'm okay with that. It's not because I'm insecure. It's because I know it's going to take the both of us. It's not me doubting him. I know it's going to take both of us to sustain this marriage. And I'm not even married, and I'm already advocating for it 100%. Call me what you want to call me. But when I do say I do, we both in this together. Because like you said, there are times when your husband is weak, and it may not have nothing to do with you. And he, I can't hold him to that standard that every single time he's going to make the right decision or he's going to feel guilty.
It could be stress on the job.
It could be stress on the job. And so he may not be seeing clearly, and I'm seeing clearly, and I'm going to step on right through like I see you.
Right. Stress
real well.
On, stress on the job and but a good happy hour. Where, it could be a combination for some shit to go down.
In the darkness, in the darkness, we make love.
We're going to take a quick break and spend a moment with the king of sarcasm. Here's a word from the player hater.
I'm not jealous or possessive at all. I mean, like, at all. And nor do I play defense, as you just mentioned, as far as trying to keep my chick away from other dudes. No, I believe she's responsible and should take responsibility for handling that situation, anything other than a physical type situation. It's like if she comes into contact with a dude and it's a situation she can handle, I would like to know that she can handle it. I don't need to be around. I'm not your defender. I don't want you coming to me, leaning on me because you want me to jump in and be Mr. Captain, whatever, whatever. No, I'm your man, true. But you should be able to handle situations that don't need physical help. She should handle that situation the same as I'm responsible for handling any chick who may be coming on to me or who may be in my life for illegitimate reasons. Yeah, it's up to me to recognize that and handle it. I don't want my woman jumping to my defense the same as I don't want my woman expecting me. I have a big thing with expectations. I just don't want my chick expecting me to do certain things because I will hurt her feelings.
I feel like my husband and I have a really good synergy. We have really good communication. But that other 5% of the time is the part where the hard work comes in, and people don't want to talk about that. People don't want to talk about the work that's involved in a relationship. It's just supposed to be easy breezy, beautiful cover girl every single day. You know, and
well,
I'm like,
you think it's unrealistic, though? I think it's very unrealistic, and I honestly don't understand people who have that unrealistic view of relationships or life in general, thinking that, okay, simply because we get married, everything's going to change. I ain't got to worry about nothing else. You my woman, I'm your man, blah, blah, blah. Everything's going to be perfect. Where does that come from? I mean, I know people think that way, but I'm like, why?
We're sold that. Media sells us that. Family sells us that. I really would like to see how many folks have actually sat down with an elder and discussed marriage and relationships, and the elder really come up off of all that they went through within a 40, 50 year span with their spouse.
I'm a realist to the nth degree. I understand things are real. You're going to have problems in relationships, and that translates into you're going to have problems in marriages. Mm-hmm. You know, not everything's going to be smooth. So a lot of stuff I just don't understand, since it's second nature to me, why everybody else doesn't understand
that. And see, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, and I think it's because of what I witnessed with the various relationships in my family. I grew up understanding that there were going to be challenges, and marriage didn't automatically mean everything was going to be peaches and cream afterwards. I mean, there was a time period where I was actually kind of anti-marriage because I didn't think it could work. But I began to have a deeper understanding of how it can work, just, you know, knowing what all is going to go into it to ensure that it works.
I actually spoke to a dude this morning. I've spoken about this many times before because this is my honest belief that I want to get your opinion on this from a marriage perspective, just from a person perspective, actually. It's my belief that there are lots of dudes and chicks who will never get married, or if they do get married, they will never, ever have healthy relationships. I usually like that.
There's definitely a large number of people that are in that category. I'm friends with some of them. And that's just because what they're expecting is unrealistic. And to tell them that, they can hear you, but they're not listening. And so it's one of those situations where they're going to have to continue to go through or follow the path that they're on and get their head knocked a few times. And, you know, it's just that way. Everybody is not cut out for that, player hater. Like, everybody's not cut out for long-term relationships. And you kind of have to ask yourself, why am I desiring it? I mean, we've all been socialized. You know what I'm saying? You grow up, you find somebody, you date them, you marry, you create a family. That doesn't have to be the pattern of your life. That's by choice. I think women have a tendency to believe more often than not
that if they don't accomplish those things, you know, marriage and motherhood, that somehow they failed. Somehow they haven't achieved what they're supposed to achieve. And, you know, that's simply not true.
Right, but I think on both sides, and I think there's a certain bit of truth, a lot of truth in what you just said, actually. And it's unfortunate. And on both sides, you have dudes who, if they don't accomplish this in their life, or if they don't do this in their life, they don't feel complete. They don't feel like a real man in their eyes because they have this vision of what a true man is. And it's okay. Again, I believe in diversity. It's a good thing. You are the way you are because of what you've experienced in life and what you've been taught in life. And if a man is this to you, okay, I may not agree with it, but I can accept it, and I will challenge you on it, but that's the way you feel. Okay, brother, you continue on your path to be a man in your you know, as far as what you view a man to be. But, yeah, I mean, again, I enjoy talking to different people. I really do, because it's always interesting to find out why we feel the way we feel and why we are basically the way we are. I don't classify a man any particular way. I'm a man 24/7. It doesn't matter if I never get a job in my life. It doesn't matter if I never do this, never do that. It's like I still feel like a man. I'm the type of man that I am. I may not be the man that you want me to be, but I'm still a man. Not saying I don't have a job, but I'm just saying I don't believe in titles and classifying people as a certain thing, or you're not this if you didn't go to college. You know, it's like, yo, I am who I am. I may not be, again, the man that you want me to be, but I still view myself as a man.
Yeah, and I'm with you in that regard, because I've always been the kind of woman who's, I've kind of just naturally fought against what my social role is supposed to be. You know, I'm the extrovert in my relationship. I'm the one that's more entrepreneurial spirited in my relationship. I'm comfortable with my role. My husband's comfortable with his role. We play to our strengths in our relationship. So, you know, there is no, because I'm a woman, I'm supposed to do this, because he's the man, he's supposed to do this. You know, and even with that, of course, there are certain things that we have a tendency to fall into. You know, he's the breadwinner, I'm in the kitchen. And that's by choice. You know what I'm saying? That's not because we feel forced, but that's by choice. He grew up feeling like he was supposed to provide, so that's what he does. I love to cook. Lucky for him. You would be the worst.
Make sure you check out The Player Hater at his website and listen to his podcast, which can be found at www.theplayerhaterpodcast.com. Now, back to our show.
Have you all seen the movie Obsessed?
Yes.
Have you seen the movie Obsessed?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now that is a classic situation where you have all rights and means to go in there and whip her ass, because she's trying to manipulate me and get me in some trouble. But I'm saying, as far as on the forefront, like, you cannot weather every conflict, every battle that comes outside your marriage. It's like if I try to
not everyone, if I confront it, obvious.
If I confront it, all the men that have approached my past girlfriends, I would be in jail right now. Literally. I would be in jail right now. But it's like you have to pick your battles. It comes to a certain point.
There's a difference between somebody approaching you.
I agree.
You know, just trying to see what's up with, you know, with what's up, versus somebody who is actually like,
right. But where do you draw that line?
Guarantee, if you would have peed on that hydrant just a little bit, a few of those men, that those million of men that have been hollering, they would have stepped back. Because not necessarily that you sticking your chest out and bullying, but he ain't having it. It's me as a man establishing that level of respect. It's me as a woman establishing that level of respect.
I think the first level of it, though, like you said earlier, I think the first level of it is allowing the person to first say, look, I'm in a relationship, da 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 da. And then the second line of defense is for you to step in and say, look, did you not hear what he said?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But that's like your situation with the movie Obsessed. When he puts it out there like, yo, I'm married, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but he took it way too far.
My thing is, once he said, I'm married, basically, this is it, we can't go no further, and she approaches again, he should have been like, I need to tell my wife, look, there's this chick at my job who is not I told this chick to leave me alone. Like after the scene where she come in this car.
Right.
And that, like you've been like, look, no. There's this chick at my job.
Who you have all.
Just so you, in case you come to the job and you see this chick pushing up on me or you see a text.
She has all reins to go on and handle her business.
Yeah, I've already said, leave me the fuck alone.
Stick her. You know, get her. Right. Get her. Get her, boo. You know, get her, boo. Get her.
Got her.
And somebody made a point earlier about, I think it was John, about you know, the guilt that you would feel after you cheat. I think that's important to think about that, but I think for me, I think it's really important to think about how the other person would feel if you've told them, or if they found out, or if they walked in. And I mean, I think you really need to think about if you really love this person, and just think about how they would feel.
Right. And then too, honesty comes back to play. This is Triana again. You know, in my weakest moments, I want to share those moments with my husband. You know, if I'm confronted with an issue where one of my guy friends, you know, I came to my husband like this when we first met. I put you in a box. This is your place. You stay there. And I do that with all my friends. You can't deal with it. You don't need to be my friend. The minute you step outside of that boundary, we got a problem. And I'm telling my husband. And that's just it. Like, in my weakest moments, even when I'm considering it, I stop. And I'm like, if John was right here, I would not be doing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to my husband right now because I'm feeling pretty weak.
Because I think deception is anything that you wouldn't do in front of the person that you're with. Whether it's a text message, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a touch. I mean, it's anything that you wouldn't do. I mean, there are degrees of deception, but anything that you wouldn't do in front of the person you're with, it's deception.
Yeah, and it's a constant battle. I think that now, you know, this, maybe it's more difficult for some people than others. I mean, yeah. Randy is so strong. So impervious.
I'm gonna tell you, John.
Wish I could be like Randy.
No, but when you're actually in a marriage, I think you deal with the situation much more different than when you're single. Because when you're single, you don't have those confines. You can't even begin to imagine what it feels like. A long term dating relationship is not a marriage.
No, that's definitely
because
I remember being single. It wasn't the same.
When you go through life a little bit and had different experiences. You start getting different values. Like, is this worth my headache? Is this worth my heartache? Is this worth my trouble?
And I hear what you're saying, but hear me when I say your money.
Exactly. you shouldn't be so quick, and people shouldn't be so quick to get married and not be sure of what they're doing.
Now
you have to be sure of the situation that you're in.
But even with all of that, you are still a human being, and until you are in the confines of the situation, there's no way you can understand. You can. Like Chris and I, this was not an overnight situation. We dated for 5 years, engaged for one before we got married. Now I've been together 12. So it wasn't a game. We ain't just think lightly about it. It's still a day-to-day job. It's work. It's work. And it's because we're under these confines. When we were dating, totally different
thing. Just like a business partnership.
Right. But it depends on a relationship. Like if we go out somewhere and I leave and I see somebody talking to Casey, I'm not gonna be. I'm not the guy who's like, just gonna run up there and like, why the fuck you talking to my chick? You know, I'm not like that. I don't know the situation. Maybe I'm like, maybe she knows a dude from back in college or whatever. But I'm like, you know,
I'm more of a bulldog because I know, and baby, you know, I know you're not gonna mind me saying this. Chris has Captain Save-A-Hoe syndrome. He does not like to see women down on their luck. So women down on their luck are attracted to my husband like a fucking magnet. And I have to, I don't get in his way or try to tell him what to do or anything. But yeah, I already know. If he's at work and it's a woman who's going through something bad, for some reason she's gonna find her way over to Chris Lehman and oh, Chris, I'm feeling so bad about myself. You know what I'm saying? And so because of that, I play my role accordingly to protect us.
Yes, I totally agree with you. John is the same way. And it's like sometimes I have to check myself and it's like, okay, stay calm because he got it. He got it. But the minute he slipped, I'm just in there.
And that's fine. I mean, I know I'm... You know, she puts the Captain Save-A-Hoe title on it. I'm like, damn.
You gotta put it
you
on.
you know. But I'm like, why can't it just be being a friend? I'm a person who's a nice guy in general, and I'm right. you know, as a nice guy. And I don't like to see, you know, black women especially just, you know, if you're going through shit and if you, and I'm the type of guy people feel like, no, people will share their information with me. And I'm like, that's fine, you know. And I will be like, okay, well, you need to handle this way. Now, if you kind of like, well, what's up with you? I'm taken. Now, if you want to come, if you come at me, there is a woman at my, next to me that will kick your ass if you step. And, you know, since I have a son, you know, you don't tell your son, you know what, find that one chick and, man, you kind of like explore your options, you know, kind of see what's out there. And when you find that particular person.
You narrow it down. Though.
Right, right. Women aren't told to narrow it down. You just like find that one.
Uh-huh.
Guys are like, yeah. Sons are told, explore. You know, look through all your options and then, right.
Right.
We're told right. So right. You have to know as a guy, okay, I'm already instinctively known that if somebody is coming at me with that energy to just go back and just give them that energy. You know, maybe for that moment and I say no and I might not like it and I'm like, fuck, I missed out. But you have to realize, you know what, I'm doing this for my relationship and for my long-term outcome, this is the right decision. For that immediate, quick high, you know what? I'm going to miss out, but long-term, this is the right decision. So you just eat. You're just like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm making the right decision. And in that moment, it may not feel like the right decision, but I have to trust in myself that I am making the right decision.
Can I just add one small thing?
Because it's really big, but it's small. You said something that was very interesting. You said basically... earlier as far as just us sowing, men sowing our royal oats, so to speak. It's so interesting because my own mother has even told me, like, look, you're still young. Don't settle until you know in your heart of hearts. You live a little. I've heard that from my own mother. Women, on the other hand, are not necessarily you. Girl, you gotta keep trap them, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever language. You know what I mean? Like if that's the one, if that's the guy. While guys, my own mama told me, like, look, you know, I don't want you to settle in something that you're not going to be happy. Weigh your options, so to speak. This is my own mother,
who's
72 years old, that has said that. But on the flip, this is where you have to get into a situation. Once you're in a relationship, here's the thing: you have to make sure that your mate. On both ends, have to feel secure on both ends. You know what I mean? And reaffirming your commitment to making that relationship work. Right. And not even entertaining the thought of having someone around or someone else in the picture. I think once that trust is reaffirmed, it's really not a conversation. Because the male ego is probably worse than any gang that's ever been created. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go ahead and be honest. You know what I'm saying? I know... Personally, like, I, you know, I've been in situations where it's like, wow, really? Like, now? You know what I mean? But then it's like, nah, I got the best thing in the world right next to me at the end of the day. So no matter what you do or what you're trying to do, it's not going to work. But not every guy is like that. Everybody ain't me.
Right. Yeah, I think another problem or another thing, too, to add to the equation is guys or females past history. Now... I could have been known like maybe like a high school sweetheart, and in high school I'm known as a player. You know, I had this girl 1 week and the next girl 1 week, you know, and then I finally settle down, get married and everything. And then, you know, it's like, well, you know, I remember how you were back in the day, you know, or this and that. Or I heard stories about you, you know, right. How do I know, you know, that kind of thing too can kind of add fuel to the flame. Yeah, right. You know.
And I think too, we can't underplay cheating. Cheating is easy. Today it is very easy. Like, we used to have this idea of the woman that would cheat with you is this harlot, you know, broken
right.
woman.
Right.
No, not so much. That's why it takes both of you to protect. I know it's not, you know, I'm a God-fearing woman, but I can tell you cheating is easy, and being in situations that you should not be in is easy to do. And that's a hindsight. And if you don't acknowledge that it is difficult, that there's fire out there, then you will lose your marriage. You can't put it in the hands of one person to protect your marriage. And it's not jumping on every woman that says hello to the man or that's smiling at your man. But just knowing what it is like
in 2012. We sound great. We're righteous and we have morals. But you know how quick it is to get it and hit it and leave and call the person 2 weeks later? If I keep our dirty little secret, and I'm not a dirty woman, I'm a single woman, I'm keeping our little dirty secret. I'm not going to give you an STD. I'm not going to call your wife and tell your wife. I'm not a loudmouth. I'm a lady out there. It's too easy for us both not to be out there saying, no, we got to protect this, because it's so easy to get caught up.
And we're living in a time period where people are not marrying as soon or and as young as they once were.
Right.
And because of that, people are making different compromises in terms of the kind of relationships they find themselves in. Mm-hmm. And then, not to mention the different ways people respond to the natural, the supposedly natural progression of a relationship. For instance, we had a podcast recently that went up on the site about Black women and our sexual politics. Mm-hmm. And one of our participants spoke to the fact that after having her child, she, you know, lost a bit of her mojo. Her libido wasn't what it was. She was all about her baby. Her delivery was stressful. So her desire to have sex with her husband wasn't as great as it was before. Now, for the husband, whose sexual libido might not have changed at all. In fact, it might be on fire because he's already had to go through that last trimester and maybe not having as much sex.
There's aphrodisiacs for that.
But the thing is, you know, in those situations.
I'm so tired of this
movie. Right.
There's remedies.
I just cannot wait for you to get married. In those situations.
Look, they have missed the market just for, like, to gain the women's libido back.
But here's my point. Here's my point.
Pill for him now.
Insight.
Here's my point. There are situations. There are situations that lend themselves to these circumstances happening. Yeah. So it's, you know, it takes more than just, you know, leaning on thyself to be strong. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely work.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that. It might not even necessarily even be the
sexual,
the
act.
Sexual appetite. Right. It could just be. You know, like, I mean, say, and not just using you and Chris as an example, you know, you guys have been together for so long, you know, you guys know each other, you guys get each other, have fun and everything, but you might have that one male friend who just kind of plays to a certain thing that Chris might not be doing, you know, like, you look beautiful today. And not to say that he doesn't think you're beautiful, but he might not just
say it.
You know, and that might just be like, oh, wow, you know, he noticed, oh, did you cut your hair or did you do this? And, you know, that kind of stuff, that can kind of play, well, that does play into it, too.
Yeah, everything has an effect.
With all jokes aside, maybe because I come off the way I come off, because I've seen the downside of it firsthand. I've seen the supposed happy family to get split up by this other woman that comes into the scene. I've seen both sides. I've seen it from the father's side and the mother's side firsthand. Now, me as a man, I cannot put my wife, this woman that I chose to marry, spend the rest of my life with, have my kids with, build a house with, build a foundation with, build a life with, and put her through that to the point where it's like I'm just breaking her down into nothing. It's like, would I want her to do that to me? Hell no. So it's like, what right do I have to go out there and to put that out into the universe? So it's like it's a conscious decision where you make that decision, this is it. This is the person I'm going to be with. This is the person that I'm going to work things out with. But, you know, you might be 40 when you get married. But if that's when you found her, that's when you found her. You might be 20, whatever case may be. If you're conscious enough to make that decision, that's the decision that you need to stick with.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to be hard on you, Nino.
I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but yeah, you got to have that focus on your situation.
It is easier said than done, but
sometimes you lose focus too.
Yeah, yeah. I think most people go into a marriage or a relationship, and this is not being pessimistic. I think most people go into relationships with this idea of euphoria of this is going to work, this is going to be the one, I'm not going to cheat, da, da, da. But there's so many unforeseen things that happen.
Right.
Somebody loses a job and you stress the fuck out because he ain't working and she paying the bills and then this man comes and he can take her. And this man comes and he can take her to dinner and he can't take her to dinner because he hasn't worked and she's looking at him like he's weak now. I mean, it's so many unforeseen things. I think the majority, I think of course
they had that foundation right.
Absolutely. I mean, you can have that foundation, but I think there are always cracks. There's a foundation in this house, but there are cracks in here too.
Right.
And I think that most people that cheat didn't really intend to cheat. I mean, I think you know, there are some. Yeah, I think the fraction.
No, I think Craig is right. I was just gonna say that, and Randy, I certainly feel what you're saying too. You'll learn though. What I was gonna say was that you have to, when you get married to a woman, and Craig, when you talk about the initial euphoria, of course that's what sort of seals the deal.
That's what gets you to the altar.
Exactly. And it doesn't, euphoria. You know, and that will wear off, that honeymoon effect. It has nothing to do with whether or not that person is the one or not. It's just that reality and responsibilities kick in, you know?
Yeah.
And what starts to happen, particularly to men, is that suddenly we start to feel like a wild animal in a cage. I mean, it was all good at first when the steak that was getting thrown in the cage was, you know, every day and whatnot. You're just sitting there getting fed. But then pretty soon you're just sitting there, you're looking at all the antelope running around outside the cage. You just start to think, you know. but what the thing that when you get married, see, it's not enough, I think, to just not cheat. Because in truth, I think you could avoid cheating your entire marriage, just go from the beginning to the end and die. You know, and still have sort of suffered for lack of something if all you did was not cheat, you know? Mm-hmm. You have to really grow romantically with your significant other. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to sort of evolve sexually. That doesn't mean you got to do a bunch of crazy stuff, but you have to evolve together in the sort of symbiosis that you shared in the beginning. Love is an act of constantly rediscovering one another and rediscovering yourself through your partner,
yes.
You know? And through all the highs and lows and the peaks and the valleys of real life as it comes and creates obstacles to your happiness, you find that those things actually do make you stronger and more attracted to one another as time goes by. You know?
Right. And the longer you're able to maintain that sort of solidarity in the relationship, the more challenging it becomes to step out of those confines. But I do think people have a tendency to look at marriage like it's a period. Like, once I do this, boom, as if nothing happens after that, as if no emotions will happen, like all the humanity in you all of a sudden leaves, right, now that you've made this choice. You're still going to be who you are. You're still going to have the same feelings, the same temptations, the same desires as you did prior to getting married. None of that changes.
And I appreciate, and I've said this before, that Kim has always been honest about marriage. And Craig, you spoke to the euphoria. And we have to speak of that because otherwise you go into this marriage thinking it's going to be a euphoria. And as soon as it's not, then I'm ready to sign divorce papers.
Right.
And so it's so important that we say, look, it's not. Huh?
It's still better than cheating.
What, divorce? Is better than cheating?
I completely disagree.
Completely disagree.
It's not a betrayal.
Completely disagree because
disagree.
Well,
otherwise,
biblically speaking,
divorce is better
thing.
Than cheating. Absolutely not, because I have to accept that you're human. You know what? You're human.
And sometimes that cheating, and I'm not condoning it at all.
At all.
But sometimes cheating can be a benchmark in your relationship.
It will bring you closer together. Exactly.
It can take you to the next level.
Don't divorce me because I cheated. You know what I mean? Because then that means the moment I'm weak, or the moment I make a mistake, or the moment I fall short, then you're ready to divorce me. But we're in this for the long haul. Like he said, no one intends to cheat.
I don't think Randy was saying that cheating should automatically equal divorce, but that if you're going to get divorced, wait till it's done before you cheat. If that's But I understand. I understand both.
Yeah, that's almost like a separate issue. The one thing that I feel like I understand at this point, being in this relationship this long, any couple that's been married 40, 50, 60 years.
That's who we need to talk to.
That's it. But they have seen their fair share of shit. Don't think that went smoothly. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't a smooth 30, 40, 50 year situation.
I think most people think that in order to make it to that time, that
we got to be holding hands all the way through.
Right.
But they made it to that because they went through the topsy turvy, the meandering. I mean, so much shit. You can't even imagine
right.
what they've seen.
And they don't tell you about that because they're not trying to turn single people off from getting married.
However, they're not going to tell you about it. I will give it up to an old lady I met in church. Her name is Jimmy Mae Hamilton. She was so, so honest about marriage.
Jimmy Mae.
But she was honest about marriage. You know, her and her husband was married for 50 years before he died. But she said, you know, he had his shit. He went out and cheated. She did too. But that kept it. But that helped them stay together because they learned to work through it.
Granny is just like, no.
I'm not condoning cheating. I'm not saying that you should run out and go cheat to see if it pushes your relationship closer.
What I'm saying is, if you consider divorce before cheating, it kind of makes you stop and think for a minute.
But divorce,
and you think about
divorce,
all the things
but divorce
that
also,
you're going to lose and the things that you got to go through. Is like, is this worth it? You might just wind up saying, hey, let's just stay together.
But divorce,
you know what I mean?
To go from a problem in a relationship to divorce suggests extreme. It suggests that what you have with the person was null and void from the jump. It could just be that in this moment right now, we've grown apart. Doesn't mean we don't want to be together, but right now you're here, I'm near. How do we get back to center where we are, back to where we were before?
You work it out
within your relationship.
Right. It could be something other than cheating.
Divorce is severing the situation in entirety.
Cheating is one tear in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You might get with somebody that becomes an addict. You may get with someone who becomes sick, who becomes depressed, who gains 200 pounds.
Right.
Like, it's
for better or worse.
For better or worse.
Right.
You might have to move your in-laws in.
Right.
For you, Randy, cheating for you is the deal breaker. For you.
Is it really? Is cheating the deal breaker?
Right now. Listen.
I'll say
y'all
this.
Y'all didn't see her.
Answer the question.
Is cheating the deal breaker?
That's one of the major deal breakers. It's like how do you rationalize that? You know what I mean?
You can't.
How do you rationalize?
I just fell in.
How do you fall in?
You have to ask yourself in the relationship.
There's more steps to that.
You have to ask yourself in the relationship though.
Have I ever cheated?
If you have to think about it, that took way too long.
I have cheated, but it was with someone that I wasn't.
Wait, no.
Listen.
Saint Randy.
You just said you cheated. That's
right.
That means it's over.
I have cheated, but the relationship. Wasn't gonna last.
But you didn't break up with it before you cheated.
Marriage, and girlfriend, boyfriend is totally different
out.
To
Cut
me.
Cut that shit out. No. Because it's the
commitment is commitment. Yeah, y'all respect for commitment.
It's the commitment.
Is,
the marriage.
We all had our wild days.
I'm saying the paper don't mean shit.
Those them sowing them royal oats that you was talking about, having your options.
Look.
Nobody's
judging Randy. I think we're all just a little surprised.
You don't know how to deal with it. When you're young, you don't know how to deal with it.
Right, but I mean,
as you get older and mature and have these experiences and you know better, then you should know better how to deal with it.
When it comes to marriage, and you know, nobody cares about the goddamn paper. The paper don't mean shit. It's the commitment itself. Like for some people, for marriage, where KC and I are at, we're young. There are people who are like 50, 60, like, you ain't been through shit. You don't know. Right. You only been married 5 years, be married 25 and tell me something. Yep. You know, they look at older people married, and they're like, well, that's because financially they had to do it, or, well, they had a baby and the guy was like, well, I'll marry you. And they're like, okay, let's just get married.
I think it was just pressure. You know, they put it out there. They put it out there that, oh, yeah, we're going to get married, not thinking about the repercussions. And then all this build up came up. It's like, oh, shit, we got to get married now.
I think the other issue with marriage, too, in regards to this whole situation, is the fact that everybody believes that they have the recipe for what a perfect marriage is supposed to look like, and that shit is supposed to be one size fits all. So everybody's marriage is supposed to look the same. For example, all in the news right now, and I don't know if it's true or if it's rumor, but Jada and Will are maybe splitting up, split the kids, whatever. For all we know, they're just going on vacation. Maybe somebody's on location, whatever. But they've had conversations about their marriage in some ways, sexually, being open. And they were getting a lot of criticism about that. And I'm one of those people who is a firm believer that the couple sets the boundaries and the rules for the commitment. It's nobody else's business in regards to what their agreement is. If Ruby Dee and Ozzy Davis had an open marriage and it lasted for 50-something years, that's their business.
That goes back to communication.
And they said they didn't have that comfort level.
And they said, you know, and they said there came a time when they decided we canted that it was done. It was they had enough time to kind of be with other people, even though they were still married. But there came a point where they both were just ready to just be with each other.
Yeah, Monique recanted that. She had an interview with Tyrese, and Tyrese actually mentioned that segment in his book, and she was like, "No, that's not exactly what I meant." She like put a twist on it that I forgot the exact words that she used.
She changed her mind because she said she was in love with her husband. She realized how much she loved him, and she was no longer open to sharing him
with other people.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what made her, you know, she was like, I know the criticism is like, oh, because, you know, her husband, Sydney, is like this beefy, you know.
Yeah, muscular dude.
Right, and she's like, I know everybody's like, oh, well, you're being in an open relationship because you're overweight, and he's like this, you know, beefcake. I don't think that's what made her lose weight. But she did recant that and said because her grandmother was the one that told her, like, you say that now, but when you truly fall in love with that man and you love who he is, you're not going to be willing to share him.
Yeah, and, like, open marriage wouldn't be for us. That's definitely not our choice. But far be it for us to set the rules.
We talk about it because
we've had those conversations.
You know, there have been times, there's been a few times in since we've been married where Kim has actually been like, thank you for not cheating. I'm like, what? I get it, because if I look at today's world, you know, if I'm, you know, because guys feel like if I want to go out and get some, I can go get some.
It's easy.
And there are guys who just want to do it just because
they can.
They want to see if they can still do it. Just like there's women out there or people who want to sleep with a married person because they feel like, you know what, I can do it. And if she says, I'll never, you know, he or she's like, I'll never cheat on my spouse. They're like, oh, really? Watch. I bet you will with me. There are people who do that.
And open marriage, like talking about it, everybody's like, oh, an open marriage. But the average man that I know cannot handle thinking of visualizing another man taking a woman down, like doggy styling your wife.
Not your wife.
No.
And the thing is, I wouldn't say Chris and I have the prescription for what makes a marriage work either, you know, for long term for anybody. But I do feel like one of the things that he and I are very solid on is communication. We believe in talking about those topics that even are difficult or considered taboo between couples, such as open relationships, such as cheating. Because I feel like what happens is a lot of people, and look, to bring it all back to center, why some people cannot manage platonic relationships after they get married is because they're not speaking honestly with their spouse or with their friends about what's going on with them. You know what I'm saying? If you can't talk to your spouse honestly about the things that you feel, about desires that you have, about temptations that you face, you keep all of that to yourself, then you're kind of setting yourself up to be in a situation, because you're keeping
communication
information.
Communication is
key. It's the most important thing. Yes. If you're not talking to your partner, you don't have a relationship, period. Right. You better sign if you can't talk.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you know your partner's mindset, it kind of eases whatever is going on at the present time. You know, if you know where they coming from, and it's like, oh no. And like that way nobody can come in and tell you something about your woman or your husband.
Exactly.
Because you like,
exactly.
I don't even sound like
baby,
him.
What was one of the questions one of the statements I made to you? I said, never let another woman pity me. I never want to be in a situation where another woman pities me because she knows something about you that I don't know. That's my one request.
Yeah, I've had a story from a coworker of mine who, where she has a male best friend, and this guy is married, and the guy never brought up her to his wife, and eventually she's just right, and she's like, they're not doing nothing, but because in the past when in other relationships he's had where he's mentioned to that to whoever he's dating, and they've had a problem with it. So he's automatically just scared, like, I don't want to mention this to my wife. Right. So what she ended up doing was, like, she went down to where they were and was like, I need to meet your wife. Like, we are best friends like that. Why the fuck you doing this? I want to holler at your wife to let her know that shit ain't going down. You know, we need to get to know each other. And he said she showed up at the house and was like, yeah, I want to go out with your wife so we can just sit down and chit-chat. And, you know, the guy's like, oh, you know, shit. And the wife is like, well, who is this chick? And she's like, he's like, you know what? You better go out with her and talk to her. And, you know, now they're, you know, she and the wife are cool. But it happens both ways. Some guys are just, I don't know, you know, well, it's happened in the past where women ain't comfortable.
It. Right.
And he has, but I mean.
He thought about it.
Right, but I mean.
Just in case. Whenever my door says, don't you want to talk
right.
to me?
Right. and it is fear. But
you know,
I,
you know this you know, one ain't happening.
Right. And I can understand on his level and his wife's level, but I can understand on her level, like, shit, nothing is happening. And I'm your best friend.
Right.
And I can't be a part of your life because you're fucking scared of talking to your wife about me. What's the problem? Like, you're putting it on there. I'm not.
Right. You're making
I'm not,
it a situation.
Yeah, you're creating
when there's
a, situation
not a situation
when there's not one there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Communication.
Yeah.
Me and Trina have hung out with female friends of mine. It wasn't an issue. And
it wasn't an issue after we were married.
Right, yeah, I guess before we were married. Yeah.
Correction.
Before we were married, I was in a different mindset. Well, it was like,
yeah.
Who the hell is this bitch? Yeah. Like, this is my territory. You stay over there.
Yeah, but you know, I was going to, not to radically change subjects, but I was just going to say, you know, I think that infidelity has always been with us, obviously. History has been written. And wars have been fought because of affairs, you know?
Right?
But having said that, I think that the way society is today makes it much more, much more of an ever-pressing, you know, thing on the minds of men, particularly, you know, to want to go out and be promiscuous. Everywhere I look, whether it's TV or commercials or billboards, somebody's trying to turn me on for something, you know. Seriously, it's either Kim Kardashian's legs
just
or
for John.
Nicki Minaj's butt. Yeah, exactly.
Come
you know,
hither, John.
It kind of makes you want to like move to like an Amish country or something, or like you know. You kind of understand why in the fundamentalist Islamic states, they just cover their women up. You know, it just gets rid of, simplifies things so much. You know, I don't have to bother with all that. Yeah.
But, it does make sense. I mean, platonic relationships can happen and they'll be all right. But, I mean, with today's society and with the media and everything, do you think somebody's showing a relationship that's working and everything's great and these issues come up and the woman... The couple handles them without no problem. Like, hey, it's not a big deal. We squash it. Everything's great. Do you think that's really going to set? You think people going to really want to watch that? No. We want to watch the drama unfold and the person cheat or something go wrong. We can be like, oh, shit, they can't handle it. So all we see is people that when situations awry, they fall. They fall on their face. We don't, every now and then, like 10% of the time, we'll show somebody who a problem happens and they'll handle it the best way they can. But most of the time, it's like, we want to see you fall on your face. That's entertaining.
You know what's so bad? That even when those situations do arise and they do handle it, they was like, oh, you a fool for doing that. What's wrong with you? What was you thinking about? And it's like, what do you want? I mean, you want the calamity. You want the drama. You want the crap to hit the fan. Yeah. So it's like something in us get off on that. You know what I mean? But in conclusion, I feel we should be ultimately selective and know yourselves. Right. Know yourselves. Know what you're about. If you like to have an open relationship, be with somebody of that same mindset.
Exactly.
If you want to be committed, be with somebody of that same mindset. If you want to be in a special kind of relationship, whatever tickles your fancy, whatever floats your boat, you need to find somebody that's going to share that with you. You know what I mean? Don't try to keep it in the closet and think, oh, it's just going to pass. No, this is who you are. Know who you are. And then you'll be able to make better decisions. You know, and then that will kind of clear up some of that other stuff. And like Kim said, keep that communication open.
Absolutely.
For the record, I'm not against having platonic friends. In fact, I found that the platonic friends that I did have, I learned from them how to treat the men that were going to be in my life. By just having platonic relationships. You know, as women, sometimes we're like, well, you didn't answer my call. That means you were with another woman. You didn't call me right back. That means you were doing this. And I've been around men who have women that they love, and they're like, I'm gonna call you right back. And all they were doing was shooting the breeze with the men around them. So I appreciate those platonic relationships, because from those men who I could let my guards down, because I knew there were no ulterior motives. I wasn't trying to sleep with them. They weren't trying to sleep with me. I learned how to treat the next man in my life.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say in summation? All right, people, we have given you over an hour of conversation. Yeah. Please check back in with us for the next Black Is Break, Pete. And I'm alone.